This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Pony.
And we're going to continue here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. We'll go to the phones. We were also talking about sexuality. Specifically, young people, maybe not over sex at all, according to some of the numbers. What brought the conversation about was an opinion piece over at TheGuardian.com written by Arwa Madawi addressing the supposed rise, so-called rise of the demisexual, a person who is attracted to only, like sexually attracted only to somebody they have an emotional attachment to, which, as you were saying, Arya, that sounds pretty normal, actually. Why is that a term? Why does there need
to be? I always understood myself to be unusual for sleeping around as much as I do.
Yeah, that's kind of your thing. Yeah.
Well, it's not what defines me, but sure.
But you don't.
It is something that
you're
I
not
do.
Shy about it.
No, not at all.
You know,
why
talk,
would I be?
You talk about that. And so, you know, why people are coming out as demisexual, well, that's a whole other question. That would be something you'd have to ask each individual. But maybe it has to do with the individuals in these cases feel pressured to be something besides that. Maybe they feel pressured by society, pop culture, to be hypersexualized, to be having multiple partners.
I think the author kind of was getting to it, but without realizing. I think it's mostly that these people sit around talking about their sexuality and, you know, where they fall on various spectrums, mm-hmm. instead of actually going out and having sex to discover what they actually do and don't enjoy. Because if they identify as, you know, this queer pansexual, demisexual or whatever, and they go out, they end up sleeping around and they sleep with the guy and they're like, oh my God, I don't like that. Now I can't be pansexual anymore.
Right. In fact, she says she quote unquote experimented with pansexuality and then determined later that she was a demisexual.
Even though a demisexual can be a pansexual.
Yeah, you could be both, right?
Right. Because a pansexual is somebody who's attracted to everybody.
Yeah.
Or can be attracted to both male and female. But a demisexual.
But why is that different from bisexual? I'm not clear on that.
It's supposedly that a bisexual person. Never mind, I don't even know what I was going to say. I felt like
there was no difference.
I think bisexuality is linked to the idea that there are two genders, so they created pansexuality to encompass more.
Anybody.
That would be my guess.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, that does. So we're going to go to your calls and thoughts. There's a little bit more here, just because it's interesting the statistics about how younger adults today are having less sex than previous generations, like by large numbers. And we'll share some of that with you. But first, Dave Ridley is on the line from RidleyReport.com. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, guys. I have an update on our tentative independence drive in New Hampshire, such as it is this year.
Okay.
So I had promised I would contact at least 15 state reps and ask them for some kind of secession legislation or resolution for 2022. And if I didn't get, you know, progress by 15, I would just assume that it probably wasn't the right time. So I actually managed to contact 19, and I still do not have a firm yes. Most of them have not returned my calls. So I am standing down myself, except I would say if anyone wants to continue doing this and continue contacting state reps, obviously it takes sometimes more than one person contacting a rep to get them to want
yeah,
to do it.
I got to say, I'm not surprised on this.
I kind of am. I expected the nightcap rep to be willing.
I actually know that he was just in Florida, and he was at the Ron Paul YAL...
at a convention.
Revolution, whatever it's called, convention. Yeah. So maybe he's just been busy.
Okay, I will say this. The nightcap rep, the state representative that is a nightcapper, which is, for listeners that don't know, the party that we threw 36 weeks in a row last year to protest and to have civil disobedience against the lockdown, so-called lockdown, the stay-at-home order. We actually had a state rep come to that regularly, or someone who actually became a state rep.
Yes, he wasn't a state rep at the time.
Correct.
I imagine he would still come out, though.
I think he would. Although, has he come this year to any of them?
I've only been a few times this year.
That's true. All right, so I will say this, though, Dave. The state rep, the first one you contacted, we're not naming here. We're just calling him the nightcap rep because we don't know if he wants to be, you know, put out there as being the nightcap.
I wouldn't want to be associated with us if I was him.
But the reason, you know, what I found out, because I did send him a message, because you had said, Dave, that you'd reached out to him. Initially, he said yes to sponsoring a secessionist piece of legislation later this year, because they have to put their legislation in, I believe, in September. There's like a certain 1 week or 2 week window that they have to submit legislation for 2022. And that he had initially, you know, shown that he was interested and then disappeared. Like, you couldn't get him back on the phone. I was able to reach him, and what he told me was that he was going down to this YAL, Young Americans for Liberty convention this weekend, and that he was expecting other New Hampshire Free Stater reps to be present at this event, and that he was planning on talking to them, you know, getting their opinion, people who've been state reps for longer, for instance, you know, what's the process, or should he go forward with X, Y, or Z, or whatever. So from what I'm told, he's still researching this. He's still trying to feel this thing out. I wouldn't say that this thing is completely dead at this point, but I'm also, at the same time, not surprised that after contacting 19 people, only how many of the 19 even called you back?
I talked or emailed. You know, I got emails or calls from, I guess, five of the 19, I would say.
Wow. And these are so-called Liberty reps, these 19 people?
Yes. But remember what Russell Canning used to say. He was at this, you know, Republican event once, and he was taking a poll. He was just asking everyone at the event if they wanted to secede. He said all the Free Staters were afraid to talk about it, and all the Republicans at the event said, yes, let's get out.
Wow.
The normal New Hampshire Republicans were like, out the door, exit the door. Hey, where's the exit?
Have you reached out to any normal Republican representatives?
Yes, I've contacted some who are not Free Staters. And also, another point to keep in mind is the reason why you do this kind of thing is because even if it fails, it succeeds. And here was the little backhanded success we got from this. They mentioned the secession drive in the Verge the other day.
They did, yeah, that's true.
I did. That was my favorite part of it.
And if they hadn't, you know, if we hadn't been doing that, they wouldn't have had anything to talk about there. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a relatively major publication in the middle of a censorship storm.
And we would get so much more coverage if a state rep actually did sponsor this and actually did put in, like, even if it goes down hard, even if, you know, it gets in front of a committee. Because in New Hampshire, for those that don't know, every single piece of legislation has to have a public hearing. There's no, like, in a lot of states, it's like political, right? Oh, well, we'll give a public hearing to this bill, or we'll give a public hearing to this bill. In New Hampshire, it's every single one.
Nice.
And so even if it goes to a public hearing and the committee that it's in front of votes it down, you know, 20-0, it still is going to get news coverage because it's still worth talking about. It's noteworthy.
Even just, like, people hearing about secession in New Hampshire for the first time is pretty, you know, powerful. I know in Texas, like, it gets talked about a lot, but it's always like a, oh, yeah, my crazy grandpa thinks that we should secede. But I feel like you don't hear about it at all in other states. Like, you never even think about the possibility your state could secede.
Right. It's got to get talked about before it can be real.
Just one state rep submitting this and then taking it off the consent calendar a few years later would make sure that this is in front of the entire legislature, which in and of itself would put us in the lead on the drive to secession. And that would be the most important thing that rep had ever done, probably.
Yeah.
And yet everyone just wants to pretend like, well, we can't do anything about this. We just have to keep, you know, hacking at the branches because we, you know, striking at the root.
Yeah. Have they given you an excuse of the five people you've talked to? You know, what have they said?
So, okay, one excuse was, I'm not in a safe district. You should do this with a guy who's in a safe district, and we'll probably only get about 50 votes in front of the House.
So he's worried about reelection. Okay.
What does safe district mean?
Meaning he might lose the next election based on this one issue.
So he doesn't want to be principled because he might lose power.
Correct. Cowardice. Okay, next one.
This is why I don't vote for libertarians in general.
Can you stay, Dave, and talk about it? Can you hang on and talk about it? All right, Dave Ridley here is with us. He is the Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. great activist, and it's amazing that somebody with the clout of Dave Ridley can't even get more than 5 out of 19 so-called liberty reps to call him back. That's amazing. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Since Free Talk Live, you can bring up what you want here. Number 603-283-6160. We're going to continue with more of your calls and thoughts in the studio with you tonight. You've got Ian.
Aria.
And Bonnie.
We're on the line with Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com talking about secession. It's something that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
It's something
never
that...
Never a better time than now.
I agree. I mean, it would have been nice 20 years ago, but, you know,
sure.
Now it would be fine, too. Somebody's got to do it first. Whether it's going to be Texas, whether it's going to be California or New Hampshire, these are definitely three of the, I would say, better states, the three of the states that have some level of a movement for secession. But honestly, New Hampshire's weaker on secession than the Texans and the Californians.
Well, the Texans talk more.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that true? Because
it's true.
I have heard about secession in Texas, but it's always, like I said, like, oh yeah, my crazy uncle thinks we should...
They're going to look down on us, too, as soon as we make a splash here in New Hampshire. But that said, I think that there is a large native potential for it. I think there's a lot of New Hampshire natives that appreciate the idea from my outreach that I've done over the years of talking to New Hampshire natives and people about the idea of secession. Dave Ridley, you've been trying to talk to state representatives, these so-called liberty reps. Now, there's supposedly something like 40-plus state representatives who are free staters. This is according to a debate with Jeremy Kaufman from the Free State Project and Angela McArdle of the Libertarian Party nationally. I've actually got that audio. I was planning on playing some of it tonight, so maybe we'll jump into that here in a moment.
I'm looking forward to it because I still haven't heard any of it.
But there's no doubt that the Free Stater or the so-called Liberty Reps have, in a lot of ways, been disappointments. We've yet to see somebody propose an end to the war on drugs. We've yet to see somebody propose secession.
But their political capital.
That's the thing. That's what they always say. It's like, well, when you corner one of them, like if you're at an event or something, you talk to them, and these are nice people. I don't dislike them personally. Many of them I consider myself to be friendly with, and they're good people, and I think they're trying to do their best. And obviously, they are playing this game, this political game. And so I'm not telling them how to do their job. I'm just saying I wish we could move a little bit faster here. And I know it's politics and things go slow and it's all about compromise. But if you don't push for what you want, for what you really want, then the compromise is never going to be as far along as it could be.
It makes you wonder if what they want is to be a politician.
Well, that's a good question. So, Dave, you've been running up against these objections. Has anybody used that term, oh, well, I don't have enough political capital? Because when somebody says, oh, I'm not in a good district, what they're saying is that they think they could lose the next election, and so they're worried about their so-called political capital, that they can't spend the so-called political capital enough on this issue because they're worried about what might happen to them.
Alternatively, they could put forward a secession petition, and it could ensure their next election victory.
Yeah, it could. Dave, what else?
Yeah, Lynn Dighton, the historian, used to say, you know, winning the Battle of Britain is only slightly more important than persuading the world you're winning the Battle of Britain, right? So if the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it didn't really fall. And so all these things Liberty reps think they've done, if no one's talking about it, it didn't happen. Mm. So it would, they'd be better off submitting something that at least gets people talking, even if it fails, than submitting something that succeeds and doesn't, no one even knows it happened.
Yeah.
In most cases, because most of what they're submitting that gets passed is pretty minor stuff, you know. And the other thing is, yes, you're right. This is not. I'm not necessarily completely done with this. If somebody wants to continue working on this and coordinate with me a little bit, first of all, you can contact me at, you know, Ridley Report on Telegram or Dave Ridley on Facebook. And I've posted what I know, most of it, to forum.shiresociety.com. So there's a thread there where it's all discussed, and you can get caught up there.
The reason why I'd originally suggested the nightcap state rep to you, Dave, was because he had informed me that he just really didn't care what the people in Concord thought about, you know, what his beliefs were or what he puts forward.
He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, and that's why I think he's probably the right guy for this. I reached out to him during the break there to let him know, because, again, he just got back from a convention down in Florida, and I said that, hey, is there any news? Ridley's on the radio show talking about it right now. He says he sent you a message on Telegram and has not heard back from you.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I'll check that. It's possible I missed that. I sent him an email and never heard back, and I'll send him another one now that I know he's responded.
Okay, well, feel free to use me as your middleman if, you know, for whatever reason you guys can't get in touch with each other. But I gave him your phone number, and I gave him your email address, so hopefully this will work out and keep us informed. Dave, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to Emma. She's on the line listening in New Hampshire on the radio. Emma, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to go back to your previous conversation that you guys were having with Bonnie.
Yeah, of course.
I was born in 2001, so I'm a young person like Bonnie, and my experience has just been very different than hers. Most of my friends, you know, at 20 years old, don't go and sleep with people on the first date. I think it is, like you were saying, a big pressure culture. And I think that that's why people are coming up with new words like demisexual to kind of make what they feel themselves being uncool because they're not going and sleeping around and having all these experiences that other people their age are.
But are other people their age having those experiences? And according to the numbers that we've seen here, significantly fewer young people are even having sex in their high school years as compared to, say, Generation X.
Is that across, the whole country? Because now you're making me wonder because, like, I mean, I'm from in Texas, I'm from San Antonio. Like, I'm not from, you know, a small place. Like,
yeah, this is the whole country.
Because, like, even in where I went to high school, also in Utah, it was, like, the smallest of small towns. Like, 120 people actually live there. And everybody there is having sex. Like, it's not like you're...
Well, that may be because it's such a small town and there's probably not anything else to do.
That's kind of true. And my sister, who was born in 2000, all of her friends are all having sex with each other, too. So, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if this is a culture thing or, like, you know, if it differs state to state. I don't know, but...
Is it possible they're lying about it, Bonnie, that they're pretending that they're having sex and they're not actually, and that on a survey they would be more likely to tell the truth because the survey is anonymous?
You can't really lie about having sex with your classmate without them coming out and like being like, I did not have sex with you.
What do you think, Emma?
My experience has been very different from Bonnie. Most of my friends haven't had sex at my age. So I think my experience has been definitely more in line with the statistics put out by the CDC.
Do you know the reason why your friends aren't engaging in sexual activity?
It's because they're looking for a relationship and they don't want to jump into bed with someone.
It seems sensible.
For a month.
In their early 20s?
Yeah, I'm very
They can look for a relationship later.
Yeah, but people in their early 20s want a boyfriend and that kind of stuff and...
That was the last thing I wanted in my early 20s.
Well, but also, you're somebody who does a lot of sleeping around, so your sex drive is different.
I still think, I mean, some of my friends are born in 2001 as well. Like, I don't know, all my friends are, like, younger than me. And I would say that even the ones that want boyfriends ultimately, like, had sex in between. So, I don't know, I just think it might be a culture thing.
I wonder about that. Emma, if you want, can you hang on and talk a little bit more about this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, more with Emma here in a moment. Like, let's talk more about the cultural side. You know, does she hang around with a lot of religious people? Is that a factor or what? We'll find out more coming up here in a moment.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. As the surge of illegal immigrants at the southern border continues, local officials are concerned they're spreading COVID-19 to border communities. Border Patrol Union Vice President Chris Cabrera joins Fox News and says many illegal immigrants are leaving their facilities and don't know if they have COVID.
As far as Border Patrol goes, it's very rare we test anyone. The only time somebody gets tested in our custody is if they're showing signs and symptoms or they have some other medical emergency. So very few get tested in Border Patrol custody.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says a big infrastructure bill will be on a glide path to final approval in the Senate. The roughly $1 trillion bill has solid bipartisan support. After expected final passage, Schumer says the Senate will then proceed to a massive $3.5 trillion spending measure. And you're listening to USA Radio News. The Pentagon will require U.S. military members to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby saying if the FDA fully approves a vaccine, it would be treated like any other.
I think there's 17 total. There's 8 at least I know of that you have to get just to go to boot camp. It just becomes part of that regimen.
As of July 16th, 70% of active troops were vaccinated. On Monday, the New York State Assembly Judiciary Committee held a press conference about the investigation into Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo. Chair of the New York Assembly Judiciary Committee, Charles Levine, says once all the evidence is reviewed, they will decide whether or not to move forward towards impeachment.
After the committee has completed its review of the evidence, it will make a recommendation to the full assembly on whether to proceed with impeachment against Governor Cuomo.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What you want right here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. The statistics are showing that young people these days are just not having as much sex as previous generations. Although, Bonnie, you're saying where you come from down in San Antonio, Texas, that there does seem to be quite a bit of sexual activity amongst the people in their early 20s.
But we hit upon something during the break that I think may explain that. You said you prefer having gay male friends, right?
I mean, that's mostly what my friends are.
Wait, are you suggesting that gay males are more likely to be sexually promiscuous?
I would say they are significantly more likely to be sexually promiscuous. Like, probably by a factor of 6 or 7 to 1.
Interesting. Well,
but I don't have no girlfriends, and I'd say that my girlfriends are also promiscuous.
Well, let's go back to Emma.
Maybe not as much as the boys.
She's on the line here and listening in New Hampshire. She's in her early 20s as well and says that, at least amongst her friends, she's not seeing a whole lot of sexual activity. Emma, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would that pretty much sum up what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is there any other factors that might play in here? Like, are you friends with or in the, you know, ultra-right religious community? Are there certain reasons why that might be the case? Or is it just sort of just the natural way things came about for these folks?
Well, I did go to Catholic school, but not everybody there was super religious. So I don't know how much religion played a factor in their personal decisions. But I would say it was like a very loving community. So people didn't feel the need to, there was no peer pressure towards it. So that was a good thing.
As a general estimate, how many of these people would characterize themselves as, you know, pansexual or demisexual or any of the other alphabet soup of the LGBTQ plus community?
I think one girl in my senior class came out as gay, like our senior year, but I think that was it.
Okay, so very low numbers. Okay.
It's interesting. Now, there, you know, lots of the statistics do show that what you're saying, Emma, is the case nationwide with high school students who'd had intercourse dropping from 54 to 40% from 1991 to 2017. In other, you know, numbers here, it's showing that Gen Xers and, or excuse me, according to this, people in their early 20s are 2.5 times as likely to be abstinent as Gen Xers were at that age.
Wow.
2.5 times more likely. Do you think it has to do, Emma, I mean, just wild speculation, does it have to do with society and sort of popular culture becoming super sexualized, and there's sort of like a pushback against that? Like, you know, that's somehow a turn off, like seeing all this sexuality amongst pop stars and things like that, or in the movies or whatever. Or is it something else that is leading people to make these decisions? Is it that we're disconnected from one another? Is it that people are less likely to see each other in person? And that was true before COVID. More
sure.
People were quote-unquote hanging out on an app than, you know, say going to the mall and picking up somebody or whatever. What do you think?
You know, I can't speak too much to the thoughts of my peers, but I can give my personal experience.
Sure.
I just don't think that hookup culture is very healthy. I don't think it leads to happy relationships or happy people.
I would disagree.
It's very damaging.
I'm probably one of the happiest people I know.
You're also unusual. I mean,
and my life is like 80% hookups.
I think I see where Emma's coming from on this, though, because I got to agree with her. Like, to me, I'm totally the opposite from you on this, Aria, and we're a little bit older, you and I, than Emma
sure.
is. We're not exactly the same age range, from what I understand, but so I'm the oldest person in the room. I'm, you know, in my early 40s. But I've never been attracted to having a whole bunch of partners. That, to me, is completely uninteresting. I'd much rather have a fulfilling relationship with one person.
I also have that.
And you're having a bunch of partners on top of that.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a happy yeah. life. I don't see an issue.
So do you know anybody, Emma, that has had tried the hookup culture and then been unhappy about it? Because I can agree with you, that seems to be unfulfilling for those that are looking for a connection.
Are you a demisexual?
I
wouldn't characterize myself as that. I think it's kind of silly to describe yourself like that. But yeah, I do know some people who kind of slept around a little bit.
Oh, you said slept around. Okay. You said slept around. Sorry. It sounded like something else there for a moment. And we're on the radio. Go ahead with what you're saying.
I do know one kid in high school who like did that, and they just always seemed kind of sad. And they always were having relationship problems.
And you would say, Aria, that you could see that would happen with some people, right? Somebody
sure,
who's
it's not for everyone.
Using sex to fill some sort of a hole in their life, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't actually fill them up in the way that they are looking for that,
well,
whatever.
But that's true of people who are using relationships to fill holes in themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I would say that could be anything that you do out of moderation and that, you know, that you don't know yourself well enough to know if you can handle. Like, it's not just sex. Like, it's like sometimes even marijuana. People get problems with marijuana. Like,
sure, but you're not going to get a venereal disease from smoking too much pot.
You're not going to get a venereal disease from sleeping around if you get tested. And
well, testing will just tell you that you have
yeah,
one.
You're
it will prevent you from getting
much
one.
More likely. The more
well,
sexual partners
if
you
everybody
have.
Gets tested all the time, then treats themselves until they're healthy and then has sex, that would fix that.
I mean, certainly people getting tested more often than not is beneficial.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Anyways, without
the more
your
often
little
you
comment,
sex,
Ian, I think I was making a good point. Like, you could, as long as you know yourself and like love yourself and take care of yourself, and you're doing like most everything in moderation, I don't really see how sleeping around is any worse than, you know, some other things that usually aren't horrible, but then if you're doing it out of moderation, can put you out of whack. Like, I always feel awful if I'm just, like, waking up every day smoking the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I get into a phase like that, I'm like, okay, I gotta cut back, because I'm just, like, it's even making me, like, happy to smoke anymore. I'm just doing it to do it, and, you know, like, it's ruining my life, making me lazy. Like, you know, that's just a...
I mean, it all depends on the individual. I mean, I've certainly known people who smoked pot, like, the first thing when they woke up each day, and they were happy and productive throughout the entire day.
Yeah, but, and that's actually so true to my point, too. Like, it's, you know, person to person. There are some people that like to have sex all the time. Personally,
and for some people it is fulfilling, and for some people it's probably depressing.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if you're looking for an emotional connection, then certainly hookups are not the way to go.
It's not going
to
happen for you.
But if you're looking for a hookup, relationships are not the way to go.
Emma, thanks for your feedback here tonight. Interesting to hear from somebody on the younger side of things. Anything else you want to share?
No, thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for the call. That's Emma there in New Hampshire. And you can dial in, too. The number is 603-283-6160.
I wish I had thought about it. I mean, if she's a native, New Hampshire native, I wish I had asked her what her thoughts on secession were.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
You know what? I thought about it when I took the call this segment, and then it just went right out of my head.
I thought about it way too late.
Yeah, well, I just think, like, this study is over all of America, doesn't really factor in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And then this one caller, I mean, she is a New Hampshire native who went to a Catholic school here. I don't really think that either one of those people are going to have the answer.
Well, we are just talking about individuals here when somebody calls in. But according to, let's see here, Jean M. Twin, psychology professor at San Diego State University, she wrote a book called iGen, and she notes that today's young adults are on track to have fewer sex partners than the members of the preceding two generations. According to the numbers, not only are the people in their early 20s 2.5 times as likely to be abstinent as Gen Xers were at that age, 15% of people in their early 20s report having had no sex since they reached adulthood. So not just as their high school years, but also as they are, you know, in their early 20s, not having any sex whatsoever, total abstinence.
That seems about right, though. I mean, probably 15% of the people I was in college with were probably not having sex.
Well, actually, as it turns out, Gen Xers and baby boomers are also having less sex today than previous generations did at their ages. From the late 90s to 2014, Twenge found, according to the General Social Survey, the average adult went from having sex 62 times a year to 54 times a year. So even people who are in their 40s and 50s.
What does
and
it say
60s?
About millennials? It's addressed everyone except millennials.
Well, no, they're talking about Gen Xers in, or they were talking about millennials, I think, earlier. Well, we can continue here. If you want to share your thoughts, 603-283-6160, it's free time.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. Ian, Aria, and Bonnie in the studio here tonight. We've been talking in just the last few segments about, well, actually, kind of from the beginning of the show, we started out talking about so-called demisexual, which seems to be a term that people who want to, they just want to come out because it's so cool to come out now. You know, they want to come out as somebody who's attracted to only people that they have an emotional bond with, which seems like a pretty normal thing and not something that you're going to get, you know, hung from a crossover.
Plus, emotional bond is kind of a vague term, and there's a huge gradient of how emotionally bonded to someone you can be.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, I have an emotional bond with plenty of people that I would never have any sort of sexual relationship with. But if you're demisexual, it seems like you would want a sexual relationship with someone that you had an emotional connection with, right?
I guess.
So are they pigeonholed into, like, if they had just an emotional connection with their boss, would they be trying to sleep with their boss? Because if they're turned on by that emotional connection, then it stands to reason that any emotional connection or... Yeah,
maybe it's not that they're turned on by the emotional connection per se, but that is a requirement in order for them to be turned on.
Actually, okay. You know, that's kind of a good, important description. Like, that's an important thing to know. Does that turn them on, or is that just a prerequisite for sex? Because most other sexualities has something to do with being turned on, right? Like, what sexually turns you on is not a man, it's a woman, or whatever.
Right.
So is it that the emotional connection turns these people on? I think that's important to know.
I'm guessing it plays a factor. I'm guessing it plays a major factor. But that ended up moving us in the direction of just sort of discussing sexuality amongst younger people and even older people. According to the story here at The Atlantic, and this is from 2018, so this is pre-pandemic, pre-lockdown and all that. But even people in their Gen X years and baby boomers are having less sex.
I'm not surprised about boomers. I mean, aren't they like geriatric now? They're like 60, 70 years old? I would be shocked if they were having a bunch of sex.
What are the
and kind
years?
Of grossed out.
I'd be happy for them.
What are what years?
What are like the age ranges or like the years they'd be born?
Let's see. I think the baby Gen X ends at around when I was born in the early 80s. So that would mean that Gen X would have started in the early
60s, yeah.
Right?
I think so.
The boomers would have been roughly the 20 years prior to that. So say 1945 to 65 or something like that, or 1940 to 1960. Would be my guess.
I wouldn't be disgusted if they were having sex, but it does make sense that they'd be having less sex.
I would only be disgusted if I, like, thought about it and pictured it, right?
I mean, let's move on. So, it's not just an American phenomenon. Most countries don't track their citizens' sex lives closely, but those that try, and all of them are wealthy nations, are reporting their own sex delays and declines. One of the most respected sex studies in the world, Britain's National Survey of Sexual Attitudes and Lifestyles, reported in 2001, which... it's been a while since that, people ages 16 to 44 were having sex more than six times a month on average. By 2012, that rate had dropped to fewer than five times. Over roughly the same period, so 2001 to 2012, Australians in relationships went from having sex about 1.8 times per week to 1.4 times. Finland's FinSex study found declines in intercourse frequency along with rising rates of self-pleasure. In the Netherlands, In the Netherlands, the median age at which people first have intercourse rose from 17.1 in 2012 to 18.6 in 2017. That's just in a 5-year window. And other types of physical.
Wait, what was the first?
17.1 in 2012, and then it rose to 18.6 in 2017. And other types of physical contact also got pushed back, even kissing. So,
you know, I think the article may be right. This may be a result of over-sexualization and easy access to pornography and things like that, because it has been my experience throughout all of my adult life that the vast majority of people are lazy about having sex, and it's because self-pleasure is just so easy, so accessible, and so simple, and it achieves, you know, the same endorphin releases that they're trying to get, so why go through the effort? I imagine that's probably a large factor in all of this.
And plus, you can also, whether or not people factor this in consciously or not, there's also the sort of propensity, it seems like these days, of people just to, you know, scream rape when there really wasn't any. And so I could understand why, you know, young people are like, you know, why do I even want to risk this? I mean, this person could not be the person they are appearing to be. They might just be in it to try to, you know, crop up some sort of a fake rape charge against me. And we've seen young people in college being very concerned with that.
And that's sad.
It is.
I mean, when I go to a bar and I meet a chick or a guy or something like that, the idea that one of us could cry rape never occurs to me.
I'm glad that that's the case. But it must occur to some people.
I mean, it could happen one day, you know?
Yeah.
But it just isn't something that I sit around worrying about.
One of my friends earlier this year was telling me how he had sex with a girl, and afterwards she was, like, crying that she felt used and all this stuff, even though she was the one that came on to him. And I was just like, I was just telling him, don't let her, like, you know, manipulate you like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. If she wanted to do it, then she wanted to do it. Like, what the heck? That's just so weird.
And that's the kind of person who the next step from complaining about feeling used could be getting angry and going to the police.
So crazy.
That's a pretty scary thing.
Make narc culture not cool again.
Sweden, by the way, which hadn't done a national sex study in 20 years, recently launched one, alarmed by polling that suggested that Swedes as well were having less sex. The country, which has one of the highest birth rates in Europe, is apparently disinclined to risk its fecundity. Quote, if the social conditions for a good sex life, for example, through stress or other unhealthy factors, have deteriorated, said the Swedish health minister in an op-ed at the time, it is a political problem, he says. And that brings us to fertility challenge.
At least
Japan.
Their politicians are focused on the right thing. Getting their people laid. Good on you, Sweden.
Instead of screwing their people?
Yeah.
Right. And isn't that the same country?
Uncle Sam wants you to have a healthy sex life.
With the low COVID.
And they've got the no mask restrictions, right?
Yeah. They must be really serious about getting laid.
That brings us to Fertility Challenge Japan, which I mentioned earlier. In the midst of a demographic crisis and has become something of a case study in the dangers of sexlessness, in 2005, a third of Japanese single people between 18 to 34 were virgins.
Wow, a third of them?
Yeah, and here it was 15%, if you remember, in the early 20s. By 2015, so again, that's 2005, it was a third. By 2015, 43% of people in the 18 to 34 age group were virgins.
In Japan?
In Japan.
That's insane.
Aren't they also really conservative there? I know in Korea they are, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, they say that about every country, right? The United States was supposed to be really conservative, too. The only difference is, I don't know, I guess you do have a point, yeah.
But they've always been conservative, so why now this?
Well, I mean...
I mean, people still, in theory, even though they're conservative, still have a drive to have sex. Right?
I think the number one answer really is, well, there is the rape thing, but also I think the number one answer really is masturbation.
So, let's
see. Can you say that on the air?
You can. Self-pleasure is probably a more tactful way to do it. But the share who said they didn't intend to get married had risen too. So, let's see. Not that marriage was any guarantee of sexual frequency. A related survey found that 47% of married people in Japan hadn't had sex in at least a month. For nearly a decade, stories in the Western press have tied Japan's sexual funk to a rising generation of shushoku danshi, literally grass-eating boys. These herbivore men, as they are known in English,
soy boys,
are said to be ambivalent about pursuing either women or conventional success. The new taxonomy of Japanese sexlessness also includes terms for groups such as hikikomori or shut-ins and parasaito shinguru, parasite singles. Those are people who live with their parents beyond their 20s.
Well, I could kind of see in a culture like, you know, in China, they have that lay flat protest thing where, like, they've just been their whole lives pressured to do so great at everything to where they're protesting that culture by not doing anything. I could kind of see why, if it's a success type of culture there to have sex, why they'd be laying flat.
And then there's the otaku, or obsessive fans of especially anime and manga, all of whom are said to contribute to sekusu shinai shokogun, or celibacy syndrome. So, you know, it's interesting what's been going on over there, because as I mentioned, the fact that people aren't having sex is actually leading to what they, as they describe, a demographic crisis, where there literally aren't enough people.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal. Humans are sexual animals. That's how we procreate.
There's literally, like, not enough people. They're having to loosen their immigration rules to allow people to immigrate to Japan, which has been a long time very sort of closed society, because they just don't have enough young people to, like, staff nursing homes and things like that. There's more coming up here.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.